Hello, Cincinnati! Have the Reds finally turned it around? That's what we're here to talk about today. We're giving you a series recap from this weekend's games against the Dodgers. And boy, was it a dandy. We got a nice sweep. So how about that, Redlegs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? Position. I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive. Whoa! All right, welcome to today's podcast. We're doing something a little different. We're doing a series recap, and we're pushing it out tonight so that it is time relevant. And what we have decided to do is extra bonus podcasts like this that are a little bit shorter, or we'll say a little bit off the cuff. We're going to call it Extra Innings. So we're going to get this Extra Innings podcast started, and we're going to do something we call the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I'm standing on second base, ready to get this extra inning started.
So let's start with the good. The bats are back. Have they turned a corner finally with their hitting?
And the short answer to that would be yes. I'm going to stay positive, just like the players have throughout the month of May. And I'm going to say they have turned the corner. They have started to do the little things. They've reduced the number of strikeouts over the three games. Clearly, they've improved their output and their hits, and some of the guys that were not doing as well as they could seem to be picking it up.
Okay, on that remark, Ellie, 1-for-9 in the series. He's still got something to fix, but he did cut down on his case, so we'll look at the positive side, right? Spencer Steer, 3-for-10 on the series with 2 home runs, and he's hitting the ball hard. He does not look like the hitter he did when he was in that slump. He looks like he's starting to get his mojo back. He kind of looked, when he was in that slump, he kind of looked like it just looked different, felt different. And he also had that bad ankle. I get it. But, he's not striking out looking. He's hitting the ball hard. He's doing well. He's turning it around. Jonathan India, same deal, 4-for-10. Maybe he's breaking out of his slump. Obviously, he had that huge grand slam. And then some of the other hits he had, he's hit hard line drives through the gap in the infield to get singles. Today's a prime example. 2-run single to start things off for the scoring for the Reds. And then you go to a guy like Stuart Fairchild, who's filling in big shoes for TJ Friedl. He went 2-for-5 on the series, but he had a home run. But most importantly, his defense. He robbed a home run last night, and I didn't see all of the game, but it sounded like he had another big defensive play that was almost a home run, or could have been a home run, that he robbed as well. He's been playing phenomenal in center field with TJ Friedl out.
He had a couple good plays in the field today in the third game, the rubber game of the set. So he is looking strong defensively and will continue to be an asset in that regard.
I don't know if I'd call it the rubber game of the set. I think I'd call it the Skyline Chili call to the bullpen game of the set. Now, let's talk about the positives, the good on the pitching side. How do you think the Reds contained, or how do you think the Reds' containment of the top of that potent Dodgers lineup is? Because the Dodgers' top three or four guys are carrying that team right now.
Well, they did an excellent job against Ohtani, obviously. Against Betts, they did what they had to do. And Freddie Freeman continues to be Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, he's a monster. I mean, you can't avoid that.
Boy, out of four of them, you're not going to shut all four down. It's just the law, the math just does not work out.
Yeah, by the way, is Will Smith he's probably one of the catchers with the highest batting averages in the league right now, if I had to guess.
He's up there. He certainly is, and he's a pretty good offensive weapon for them.
He's pretty good defensively, too, because you remember when they played in L.A., they had the other guy catching the first game, which is when L.A. got his 4 steals. And then Will Smith came in and, the steals all but disappeared. The other thing I'd like to mention about the pitching is the bullpen was locked in. I think they only gave up, 1 run, if that. They were nasty. They were doing it. I think Diaz, another guy that might be turning around, he was not doing so hot. He also didn't have a lot of opportunities to get in the game because there's not many chances for saves the way the Reds have been playing offensively. But he shut him down every time he came to the mound in this series.
Well, it's funny you would say they only gave up one run because it was a bullpen day today. So any run that was scored today would have been credited to the bullpen.
Which, by the way, what about Nick Martinez? How is it that when he starts the game, he doesn't do as well, yet if they have Brent Suter come in for two-thirds of an inning or an inning, and then they bring Martinez in, all of a sudden Martinez is like a totally different animal for four or five innings?
Well, I don't have the answer to that for you, but oftentimes it's a mindset.
I mean, I'm not complaining. That's a hell of a reliever to have in the pen to eat up some innings if you get a starter that gets in trouble. Speaking of starters, Ashcraft and Green both had their innings of trouble. Green got out with less, giving up less runs, obviously, but both of them locked it down. They collected themselves and locked it down for the rest of the game. And that's what you want to see out of these young guys, is that maturity coming out and figuring out how to stay mentally tough. And when you're having a bad stretch, which for the Reds starters, it always seems to be the second or third inning, you can block it out and get back to work and do what you need to do and make the adjustments to finish the game strong. So we did the good. Now we're on the bad. What do you got for the bad to start us off with?
Well, we said the good was the pitching. We said the good was the offense in the form of the hitting. We talked about the defense and Stu and some of the plays he made. And I think overall they were above average for the series. The one thing that I think could improve for the Reds is certainly they're known for their aggressiveness on the bases. But I would suggest to you that based on some of the two-out caught stealing that they have and other outs that they've had over the past series as well as weeks, that they run with reckless abandon. And sometimes if they just look at the law of averages in certain situations, it's situational, that they could continue to be aggressive without running with reckless abandon.
Well, it's like the old saying, don't run into the final out in an inning. Twice I've seen him send Benson with two outs, and he gets thrown out inning over. Prime example of why you don't do that. Jonathan India's grand slam. How many outs did they have when they put all those runners on in India sent it yard?
I believe the answer to that question is two.
Exactly. So if you got a guy on base and there's two outs, I don't care if it's Ellie. You don't send him because you don't know what can happen. You can do a lot of damage with two outs. It's the game of baseball. As soon as that runner gets on, he could be in that pitcher's head, especially if it's Ellie. Then he's not paying attention to the guy he's throwing to. He's worried about the guy on first. You don't have to have him steal. You just got to make him think you might steal. And then it aids to the runner, then the batter. Then the batter could get a hit or a walk. Now you got two guys on with a runner in scoring position with two outs. Don't run into the final out. IndyCar drivers are aggressive, but even they know when to pump the brakes.
And when they don't, they crash.
Yeah, kind of like the Reds running into these final outs in an inning trying to steal.
Well, before we go next to the ugly, let's talk about the fact that they cut down on the strikeouts, but I still think they could do a better job of protecting the plate with two strikes.
Growing up, when you play baseball, the coach always tells you, don't watch strike three. Don't watch strike three. You can't do it. They've done it too much, and that's a big part of the reason why their strikeouts are way up and their batting averages are way down. Protect the plate, just like the Dodgers did against Ashcraft in L.A. They weaponized the foul ball. If it's close, foul it off. If it's close, foul it off. If it's close, foul it off. Just fight. And the other advantage to doing that, even if you do end up striking out swinging and you get a 9-10 pitch at bat, you're going to chase that starter early, especially it's especially valuable when you do that, when you're playing someone like LA and they got so many good starting pitchers. You want to chase those guys. You want to get into the pen as fast as possible.
And oftentimes it doesn't take a great swing to foul the ball off.
No. All right. The ugly.
I'll go first, but I'm not going to steal your ugly because I think we share the same one. So I'm going to go with the relief pitcher for the Dodgers, whose name escapes me.
I think it's Ramirez.
That hit not one, not two, not three, but four batters with pitches in, I believe, the first five batters he faced of the series.
Yeah, it was not a good inning for him. But as you and I talked about last year when they signed Harrison Bader, if a guy gets cut in the middle of the season and he doesn't get traded, there's a reason for that. I believe they would call that the widows and the orphans, okay? You can't throw him out there and expect all of a sudden this magical turnaround because he's with a different team. No offense to the guy, but it did not go well. I just don't understand why these teams sign these guys and immediately push them into action unless there's some kind of major injury and they're dying for bodies on the bench.
Said another way, if he shows up at the stadium in a Greyhound bus, you know he's not your guy.
All right, my ugly. I everything was pretty good this series, obviously, because they had the sweep. There was one particular play that stands out in my mind, and that's when Graham was pitching. That inning, he gave up four runs. I think he could have saved himself two of those runs from scoring. Therefore, cutting down on his pitch count, possibly allowing him to pitch into the sixth inning or through the sixth with three earned runs or less, getting the quality start. But my ugly for this series prevented that from happening. Guy hits a ground ball to the first baseman. If you watch the replay, it looked like Graham hesitated a little bit. I don't know what happened. I can't say. But the end result was Graham gets to first base. He catches the ball, and his foot is a foot or two away from the bag, runner safe. Infield single to the first baseman, or to the first base side. That can't happen, especially if you're talking about we climb out of this giant hole we're in and we get later in the season, and we have a shot at making a wild card spot, or if the fates are totally crazy, we have a shot at winning the division, which I don't know that I see that, but you know, it's a long season. There's still plenty of games to be played, but mistakes like that can't occur. I don't know. Again, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the timing on the throw to him and he had to just stop and catch it or what, and he ended up stopping short because of the timing on the throw, or if it was because of his hesitation. But that, I mean, that's a mistake that could have saved him some earned runs, probably got him an extra inning. It was ugly. And that's why we call this the ugly segment.
Well, to your point, neither one of us were in that situation. So it's hard to know whether it was the fielder, the thrower. But I think it starts with the pitcher being more decisive in that situation.
Yep. It was just one of those weird fluke plays. I mean, it's like when you see a triple play. You don't see something like that happen very often. Sometimes, I mean, no one's perfect. Sometimes it's going to happen. So, other than that, I think they did great this series. They shut down Otani and Betts to the best of their abilities. Their pitching was great. Their hitting turned around. Is this them turning a corner? I hope so, but I'm still kind of skeptical on the answer to that question. But they have proven that that now they've taken four of seven from the Dodgers in the season series, plus that first set against the Phillies. They went two of three. They took two of three from the Phils. They have proven that they can play with the big dogs and keep up with them should they be able to make a postseason run. So it's all good stuff. I'm sure all those players are happy right now. We needed this. This was a big series, definitely to get a sweep, because it's the first time in probably a month we've won a series, plus won two games in a row. Obviously, it was three because we had the sweep, but great series overall. And guess what that means since it was a sweep?
I believe that means that I, the next time we do a podcast with Berman, will be wearing a beater.
The deal was Chicago.
Not happening. The bet was made with Berman. He has to show for it to happen.
All right. You got any other closing thoughts? Other than that, I think that's about all I got.
I'm just excited for the upcoming series with the Cardinals and the Cubs. Get into the division with a little momentum, and let's get this party started.
That's right. That's right. And y'all can find us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. Instagram is Sinsanity_24. Facebook is Sinsanity24. So we do have some exciting news. Next weekend, we're going to go to Chicago for the series of the Reds versus the Cubs. We're going to record an episode or two there. And where are we recording?
Industry Ales.
That's right. We're going to have some fun with that one. We're going to catch a game. I mean, I'm a big fan of Chicago, the city myself. I've always loved Chicago. We've been going since I was a kid. I mean, you lived there for a few years. I know you like that city.
Yes, I do. And are we going to be able to visit Trigger at the I.O.?
I would say so. I would say so. Trigger's good, dude. I like Trigger. I like busting his balls about the Bears.
He is a loyal Bears fan.
All right. Well, that is all for this recap, ladies and gentlemen. As my grandmother would say, whatever, whatever, we will see y'all later.